Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This hour is brought to you by EOC Audio, Chicagoland's leader in audio, video, networking, and home automation, EOCaudio.com.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Gracious God in heaven, we thank you for today. I don't know that you play football, but I am asking you to help us.
The neighborhood where his church resides is the neighborhood that I grew up in. There are plenty of people in that neighborhood and neighborhoods around Chicago that need prayer. And you chose to ask for God's grace today for a stadium. You should be ashamed, Pastor. And your congregation should be ashamed, too. I'm offended as a citizen of Chicago. I am offended for people who try to serve and worship a God that you're hoping shares his grace on the poor and the downtrodden. If we are going strictly from Scripture, that is not where you need to be today, Pastor. You don't need to be with the billionaires who are trying to take from the people of Chicago.
Kevin Warren thinks we're stupid. Kevin Warren thinks we're stupid.
He might be right.
He might be. I hope not. I hope the smarter angels of our nature are able to understand what's being done here.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Big day for you, the Bears fan. Big day for all of us who have been waiting for the opportunity for this franchise to spin the quarterback wheel yet again. And it has come up with their number. We know who they're going to pick, and they're going to get on with it. And then we take that great leap of faith, and we hope. We take all of our history, all of that weight of Bears quarterbacking history and everything we've gone through that we've learned to live with. I was talking to somebody yesterday who said my Bears angst, it's really, really hard to get over it. And my response was, there is no getting over it. There is only learning to live with it.
Well, this seems like a day where you don't have to be angsty. I don't think that there are any bad choices for the Bears at 9, including trading down. And you know who the number one pick is, and you've been waiting for the number one pick for months. This should be a day where Bears fans, once we get to tonight, this should be a day where Bears fans can rejoice a little bit. They can exhale. They can look at what's happened over the last couple of years. I saw that Alex Brown posted on Instagram a thank you, Lovey post, and he's right. Like, all of this stuff, you get the opportunity to be happy and hopeful and go into the start of the new season with a little bit of, hey, look at this. Maybe there's a quarterback who's going to change the luck and the fortunes. Maybe he's going to have a running buddy as a receiver, or you're going to find a dominant defensive end to pair with Montez Sweat. All of that stuff is available for you later on once we get to the draft.
This is like going toy shopping when grandma and grandpa are in town.
Yeah.
This is like grandma and grandpa come to town and your parents sort of grudgingly are like, fine, you can take the kids. And then grandma and grandpa take you to Toys R Us and you're like, oh, ho, ho, ho.
All the toys.
And they say each one of you kids can pick out something. And this is like saying each one of you kids can pick out two things.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, I'm going to get the G.I. Joe.
With the kung fu grip.
With swamp boat, with the thing with the giant stingray. And I'm also going to get the G.I. Joe with the helicopter and the snake and the quicksand thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm set.
And then
I'm good.
And then guess what? Like, there's more stuff this weekend. And the way that the conversation around the quarterbacks has gone, I expect there to be many players that the Bears could draft at 9.
Take
and,
one.
And every
take one.
And everyone goes, oh, I love that.
Don't trade down.
I'm okay if they trade down.
I want elite talent.
I desperately need Rome Odunze to be in a Bears uniform.
But what if, Marvin Harrison Jr. is there at 9?
I will draft him myself if I need to. If he is on the board at 9, I will find a way to get to the microphone in Detroit and say, Bears take Rome Odunze.
And then you leave and you walk back to the mic and go, Bears.
But what if the Bears were to trade down, pick up some extra picks, and then with the 14th pick, select Brock Bowers?
I do like that guy.
See what I mean?
I'm with that caller that called the other day on Who's Your Guy. I'm with him.
That guy Dan from Deerfield or whatever.
I'm with that guy.
Yeah, I can tell that you guys are in lockstep on some things.
We feel very similarly.
Of the guys that might be drafted in that spot, I can't see the Bears making a critical error at 9 or if they trade down. That's how good things are.
I agree with you. I would prefer if they didn't trade down. Personally, just as a fan, I would prefer that they took another awesome guy.
I think that there's awesome guys all the way through like 20.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are talking plenty of Bears today. Kalen Kaler at 11, Jason Leisure at 11:25, High Noon 11:45. Who's Your Guy at noon? And then there's all sorts of Cubs news. They keep rolling despite all of these injuries piling up.
Hitting a brick wall.
Man, it's getting rough out there. Like you say, Craig Counsell is having to do every little bit of tap dance with his job right now. And you even saw him working, like putting Elzelay in when he did. Last night, using Neris to close it out last night.
Hey, Ray, can we make a request at some point? Not obviously it's draft week, but I'd like to talk with Dansby Swanson. Because everything I hear about him, every quote from him, I go, man, this dude seems like a great teammate. Like, the latest quote is him talking to Christopher Morrell and Morrell going to Swanson for help. And Swanson starting it off with, you have so much raw talent. Like, that's the type of mentorship and that you need. That a guy that's trying to figure stuff out at the major league level, doing one of the hardest things that there is to do, you don't need someone like busting your stones. You need someone to lift you up. And Dansby seems like he's that guy. We got it? Let's play it.
Yeah, I mean, we had a talk maybe like a week ago, and he just came to me asking what he could do to be a better player, and I'm like, man, you're already so gifted. God's given you so much ability. Sometimes it's just about experience, and you see it as the more he plays and the more he plays third base, he just continues to get better and better and better. He works at it, he cares, and he wants to win. So very thankful he's our third baseman, and you know, looking forward to seeing more in the future.
May everyone have a teammate like Dansby Swanson.
And Elise Menneker reported over the weekend on Marquee that he also watched tape and talked with Edbert Alsolai about his struggles.
Of course he did. That's what I mean. Like, and even the stuff last year of him going to the front office and being like, don't mess this up. Like, we want to have an opportunity to try and win this thing. I also like to talk to him about Wash. Like, I got to get some Wash stories out of Dansby Swanson, too.
You talked yesterday with Brandon Johnson, and I thought you handled everything perfectly. I think that's about as well as somebody can perform in that situation, remaining professional and cordial while also being appropriately adversarial.
That's the job.
I think that's how you teach it. And I don't think there were no gotcha moments. You weren't trying to trip him up. You gave him every opportunity to fully explain his answers to some of these things. But the once people get past the glittery pictures and you start thinking and you read what friends of the parks said, Not to mention something that I didn't even think about, that, and I know people are gonna scoff at this, but Chicago already has a huge problem with the glass in this city killing birds. A huge problem with McCormick Place and there are other areas. This is a really, really important migratory bird stop. Hugely important. This is like the Casablanca. Especially
on the lakefront. Yeah,
exactly. This is like the Mos Eisley cantina for spring and fall for migrations. And you're talking about an enormous problem there. And stop using Daniel Burnham's name, please. Please stop invoking Daniel Burnham.
I would appreciate that, too.
Daniel Burnham cared about open lakefront. Open lakefront. And what happened with the World's Fair and the timing of some of these things after... And we don't need to get into architectural history and the transcendentalists and the understanding of the juxtaposition of park space with urban space and what it means to do it right. Don't show me that and tell me Daniel Burnham wouldn't have ever stopped throwing up.
Yeah, why don't we hear from Kevin Warren? Because Kevin Warren was on our station this morning. He was here in studio. Studs, what should we play first of Kevin Warren? Is it all one connected piece?
We got three cuts.
Okay.
Let's start with Kevin Warren answering why Pritzker was not there yesterday.
Well, let me address the Governor Pritzker situation. Any event that the Chicago Bears have, any event that I host or I'm involved with, he's always invited. And so, you know, I know that we did send an invitation to his staff. I know his schedule is probably the most busiest of any person in the state of Illinois. And I know for me, the number of invitations that I, you know, get and received, and he's always welcome and will always be welcome. And he's someone who I've, as I've said it many times before, have incredible admiration for him. I wish he could have come. I know his schedule is busy. But again, I hope people wouldn't read too much into to him not being there together.
It wasn't just that he wasn't there. It was that he said that he wasn't invited.
And he was here.
He was right down the street.
So come on with that.
Okay. What else, Studs?
Well, let's ask about the bizarre and unfortunate opening invocation from the pastor that they paid to do it.
Okay.
In regards to the, you know, prayer, I just think, I know for me, I'm a man of faith, and I know the importance of you know, expressing our faith. And I think from a positive standpoint, you know, we're just grateful to be in Chicago. I know I'm grateful every single day to have this opportunity to be a member of the Chicago Bears. I'm grateful for our football team and to work on these projects. You know, when we worked on the U.S. Bank Stadium in Minnesota, even then, and I told our staff then, to have an opportunity to work on one of these projects in your career is really unique. And then for me to have a chance to do it twice is really special. And I know from the McCaskey family, through everyone in the organization, we have a heart of gratitude to be able to bring something special here to Chicago.
That doesn't really answer the question, though.
It's still gross. It's still gross that you decided to use the cloak of religion to present your proposal to siphon away tax dollars into the pockets of billionaires.
Yes.
That's gross.
Yes.
So don't give me that. Don't give me how grateful you are.
And it wasn't even like it wasn't an encompassing prayer.
He literally prayed for a stadium.
Right. It would have been different if just wanted to start this event and praying for everyone here in our beautiful city and the opportunity for all of us to be together would have been fine. If most people don't like religion attached to government and subsidies and everything else.
Whole Constitution.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
That's not what that was. They did a revival yesterday, and it was very, very strange. And Kevin Warren didn't make me feel any better about their choice to do that.
I will be interested to hear also what he says about the expected pushback from Friends of the Park.
I mean, their executive director, Jen Kilgore, is a very bright person and a great leader. I have great respect for the Friends of the Park. We've met with them before. We'll stay in close communication with him. And again, I think what we as residents of Chicago and the state of Illinois need to continually think about is what can we do collectively to make this environment better, not only for us who live here now, but for our future generations that come. So, and again, you know, these projects are complicated. That's why you do them every 40 years, is that this is not something you could work on every single year. I mean, they test every bit of level of energy that a person has. But I'll just, again, remain positive. We'll remain organized. We'll communicate. And many of the things that we rolled out yesterday are what we've heard that people are hoping to have and what people want, you know, here. And that's how we'll continually communicate with one another's and hopefully we can just work through and come to some resolution as we move forward. But yesterday was exciting, and today I'm really excited about.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that he understands the challenge that awaits him from Friends of the Park. I'm also not sure that the mayor understands that. And that, I'll say this, in my interview with the mayor, that was an opportunity for me to have a gotcha moment, and I chose not to. Because I had the statement from the Friends of the Park, and he did not. And I showed it to him. I let him read it before we went, because I was like, I'm asking you about this, so here it is. So, yeah, there's a – here – I think that Kevin Warren is very well suited for the job that he has. And I think that he is doing everything that he can to try to make this work for the Bears. I will say that I don't believe that what's good for the Bears is necessarily good for the city of Chicago or the county of Cook or the state of Illinois. And eventually, government will have to make that decision on those choices. But I don't think that he... His number one priority is not what's best for Chicago. And if you keep that in mind, it'll help you, I think, deal with some of the rhetoric. The person who should be having Chicago's in mind is the mayor. And I've got some questions about that, too.
And Lawrence had questions for the mayor himself. You'll hear that conversation next. Bernstein and Holmes on the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Coming up at 12:45, it's Cubs pregame before they finish their series against the Astros. And following Cubs postgame, Parkins and Spiegel are live from Detroit. Wall-to-wall coverage of round one of the NFL draft until 9. Parkins and Spiegel draft special includes expert analysis from Dave Wanstead and Patrick Manley in studio. Tune in right here on The Score, the Odyssey app. You can watch the show on Twitch, Twitter, or YouTube. Draft coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Yesterday, I talked with the mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson. I wish I was talking with Brandon
Marshall. Grody did that yesterday.
Yeah, Grody did that yesterday, too.
Shout out to Groats Bears. I talked with Brandon Johnson about a lot of things. I had a lot of questions. There weren't a ton of answers. Here's what it sounded like on NBC Sports Chicago yesterday.
Well, first of all, the Bears are staying in Chicago. That's the headline for today. You know, a year ago before President Kevin Warren and I showed up and before I was mayor, you know, the Bears were as good as gone. I mean, that was the general sentiment around the league, around the city of Chicago. Well, that is no longer the case. You know, the opportunity that we have here to invest in the people of Chicago, and particularly invest in the people of Chicago around a storied franchise, is just a unique, rare opportunity. What I've said from the very beginning, if the Bears are serious about remaining in Chicago, they have to put real skin in the game. They've done that. This public-private partnership, this opportunity to ultimately transform the lakefront, the way the original vision of Daniel Burnham actually had, we're the generation that actually is in a position to pull that off.
Is there any concern by you at all that you and Chicago might be being used as a leverage play here by the Bears?
Not at all. You know, look, you know, I take people at their word. I give my word. I tell the truth. And quite frankly, the relationship that Kevin and I have developed over the course of this last year has been absolutely remarkable. Look, the bottom line is this. The Bears will always remain in the city of Chicago. And we have an opportunity to do something that is transformational. I mean, we're talking about open green space, 20% more open green space. We're talking about 24,000 jobs just for the people of Chicago, 43,000 jobs for the surrounding region, but even long-term, 2,300 permanent jobs along with 4,600 permanent jobs for the region. This type of investment is a once-in-a-generation opportunity, and we're going to seize the moment.
The reason that I asked the question is that they have poured $200 million into the site at Arlington Heights. It seems a little weird that they might just walk away from that. That's why I wanted to know, like, are you sure that the commitment is there from them? Because even today, Kevin Warren did not close the door on Arlington Heights. He left it ajar. Does that worry you at all?
Well, look, the McCaskey family trusts the leadership of Kevin Warren. He's done this before. Kevin Warren trusts my leadership. And over $2 billion that the Bears ownership is prepared to invest in this moment, that's the word that they have given not just to my administration, but the people of Chicago. And the fact that we have public benefit and public use to transform the lakeshore, this is an incredible opportunity, as well as the commitment from the NFL to be able to go after those dollars through a loan opportunity, as well as all of the different elements that come with having a dome stadium. We're talking about Final Fours. You know, we're talking about Big Ten championships, the outdoor space where we can have Chicago Public School championships right there with the lakefront as the backdrop. This is an incredible opportunity for us to do something transformational, bring a Super Bowl to the city of Chicago, restore confidence in the people of Chicago, particularly around these investments that allow us to generate unprecedented levels of revenue that we can then use to transform our public school system, to make sure that we're providing mental health services, building affordable housing. This is a win-win-win for everybody, and I'm grateful that we are in a position in a moment to actually do just that.
I understand that the Democratic Party in Illinois is not a monolith, but the governor was 20 minutes away from the event that you guys held. He was not invited, according to him, which I find a little bit troubling, and he seemed to douse a little cold water on it. That has been his stance publicly about, you know, public money for private enterprise. Why are you not aligned with the head of your party in this state?
Well, I run the city of Chicago. I mean, that's my responsibility. The people of Chicago voted for me to run the city. And what the city has made very clear is that public use and public benefit to transform the lakefront, that has always been my goal. It's not about just keeping the Bears in the city of Chicago, which we have a commitment from the Bears to remain in Chicago, but it's also about the transformation that exists there. Now, as far as the next steps, of course, to engage the Speaker of the House, the Senate President, to engage the governor, to engage the people of Chicago as a whole, that is also part of the process. But we needed to make sure that the Bears organization and my administration were on the same page. And when it comes to investing in this moment, creating hundreds of thousands of jobs, we're talking about $3.5 billion of income for workers. That's transformational. We're also talking about the long-term sustainability of this opportunity to have 20% more open green space, 14 acres of new fields for our young people to be able to participate in. This is a win-win-win for the city of Chicago, and I'm prepared to work as hard as anyone else to ensure that the resources are there to complete this endeavor.
How will you know that you are doing the will of the people? Like, what is the way that the city is going to outreach to find out if this is how people want public money spent?
Well, let me just make sure this is very clear. So we have, you know, a formation, ISFA. ISFA was designed to build stadiums. In fact, it was in 1987, under the leadership of Mayor Harold Washington, that actually created this entity to do just that. So we are living out the values that, quite frankly, predate, you know, my time as mayor. We're going to continue to engage with the community. But one thing that I can say for certain, when people elected me to run this city, I made a vow and a commitment to make sure that if there is any new stadium being built in the city of Chicago, it has to have a public benefit and public use. We're talking about 24/7, 365 days throughout the year that this space is going to be available, and we're going to continue to communicate with the community at large to ensure that these benefits actually reach the neighborhoods.
How do you feel about the idea that there are people that were on stage today that were a part of the renovation before, and there are still $650 million that is owed on that renovation for a stadium that works just fine? When you hear that, how do you respond to people that are worried about giving more money to a stadium that doesn't necessarily need to be rebuilt?
Well, what's happening, though, is that, first of all, the refinancing of debt is something that has been a very creative approach to make sure that we are still paying off
the bonds,
right? While also making these critical investments. Look, there are a number of people who have been in leadership positions before I arrived, right? And there are some lessons that we've learned from that. And so that's why I feel strongly about this opportunity, because of its commitment to not just jobs, but we're talking about women-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses that will be able to participate in the growth and the expansion of this entire campus. We're talking about creating more access to one of the most, not just storied franchise, but we're talking about a campus that is seen all over the world as a tourist attraction. That's what is exciting about this moment, and that's why I feel far more confident that we can actually provide a deal that works for the people of Chicago.
But what if you hear from the people that the people don't want it? What if the people say, I'm serious.
Yeah,
what if they're calling their aldermen and the aldermen are telling you, my folks don't want this? What then becomes the position of the city?
Well, people have to decide if they want the type of economic development that this project brings, right? What I'm confident in, Lawrence, is that people want to see the people of Chicago work. We're talking about 24,000 jobs. Who's opposed to that? 43,000 jobs for the region. Who's opposed to that? The Bears and the organization putting in over $2 billion to make sure that this stadium is built with private funds. Who's going to be opposed to that? You know, the opportunity to have 20% more green space, an entire museum campus that will provide better access. The fact that the infrastructure in that area needs real renovation, and it's long overdue that we do that, the number of alders that receive phone calls about traffic as well as roads, all of that is addressed in this development, this opportunity. So look, the feedback is useful, it's helpful. We're gonna continue to assess and evaluate throughout this entire journey. But this moment right now that we are in the midst of in the city of Chicago, this is a once in a generation opportunity to not just keep the Bears in the city of Chicago, which we've done that, but to make sure that we have critical investments so that the people of Chicago who are fans of the Bears can also experience the fullness of this campus, right? We're talking about concerts that we can hold, the generation of income that will be the result of these investments are absolutely remarkable. The ability to hold year-round events to attract more people to our hotels. And again, this outdoor space I'm really excited about. You know, Lawrence, you probably know that I have children who are in the Chicago Public School System. They're a part of travel sports, which don't judge me for that. I know travel sports parents can be a little over the top. I'm not that dude, I promise you. But the opportunity for the flag football championship for our girls in Chicago Public Schools can be held right here on this campus. These are enormous opportunities. You know, growing up playing sports in the spring, where most your games are canceled or postponed because we don't have fields that can actually accommodate these sports. The Bears have responded to every single thing that I've asked them to respond to. Put skin in the game, have public benefit and public use around the year, creating jobs and real economic vitality for, you know, again, the Lakeshore. This is a unique opportunity for us to have a win-win-win for everyone.
I'd be remiss if I didn't read at least a portion of the statement from Friends of the Park, who are in opposition to this. And their lead paragraph, and I let the mayor see it before we started recording. The Chicago Way was on full display at the Chicago Bears news conference today. Once again, Chicago taxpayers are being told what is good for them. We are told that a new dome stadium on protected lakefront land will make Chicago a great city. We are already a great city in large part due to our protected lakefront. As is so often the case in Chicago, the powerful and wealthy are demanding that our entire city stop and fast track their plans to expand operations on the people's lakefront. How do you respond to that?
Well, you know, again, you know, the lakefront protected ordinance, you know, which I'm fully in support of, I'm confident that we are not in opposition to that ordinance. Again, we're talking about 20% more open space. The amount of investments that are that's going into creating 14 more acres of space for our children and our young people in the city of Chicago to benefit from, that's been the vision for the lakefront for some time. You know, look, I know that there has been a regular practice in the city of Chicago where things have just been rammed down people's throats. This is a proposal. What we're saying is we have an opportunity to not just keep the Bears in the city of Chicago, but 24,000 jobs, construction jobs, just for the people of Chicago, 46,000 construction jobs for the region, $2.5 billion, $3.5 billion Chicago region of labor income. The type of income that's needed to afford to live in the city of Chicago, that's what this proposal provides. And so I'm looking forward to the continued conversation. And again, this notion that we were going to lose the Bears to another space, we didn't do that. This notion that we could not provide a development with real collaboration for public benefit, we've done that. The fact that we have created public use, we've done that. The fact that we are creating opportunities for our young people, our CPS students and our Catholic League, like, could you imagine, you know, these, you know, high stake tournaments where young people get a chance to participate downtown with the Lakeshore as the backdrop, you know, on a Saturday night or a Sunday night. Graduations can be held there. There are so many different opportunities that we have in this moment, and make no mistake about it. My job and my responsibility is to make sure that the people of Chicago benefit from any investment. And that's what this proposal does.
I appreciate your time. And I know that we got to get you out of here. I just wanted to say to you, because you know how I feel about this city. We have discussed that personally. There is a distrust when it comes to misuse of public money. And I can tell you some of the feedback that I've seen, whether it's from here or from my other job, is high. There's a lot of people that are concerned about this, especially considering the platform that you ran on. There are people that are concerned of seeing the optic of you standing with billionaires. And I get, you're the mayor of Chicago. Like, you've got to make things happen. Is there any concern that you are being inconsistent to your platform by being a champion of this project?
Not at all. In fact, this project is aligned with my vision for the people of Chicago. I've said from the very beginning that the best way to build a better, stronger, safer Chicago is we have to invest in people. We have to invest in young people in particular. You know, having the opportunity to stand with billionaires, you could not have convinced me a decade ago that I would have the opportunity to do that. But here's the thing that I believe is special about this moment. The fact that the middle child, 10 siblings from a working class family, is in a position to speak to the interests of everyday Chicagoans and challenge billionaires to put skin in the game, that's what I promised that I would make sure happened. And the McCaskey family, the Bears organization, they're putting in their own dollars. We're talking about over $2 billion. And even with ISFA, Mayor Harold Washington created this infrastructure for this very purpose. Not only is it consistent, we're actually getting more out of this moment than any other administration even attempted to do. Again, thousands of jobs. That's gonna help people. I come from a working class family. Oh. I'm proud to be a union member. But I'm also very proud of the fact that we have an organization and we have a leadership with Kevin Warren who listened to my platform. Public benefit, public use. Let's make sure we do something that's special that generations to come can benefit from.
Ah, oh, man. Do you remember the scene in Aladdin when the evil wizard Jafar holds up his staff, holds up his snake staff, and he hypnotizes the Sultan?
Yeah, he went, noonie, noonie, noonie.
And he gets the Sultan to do his bidding?
Yes.
That's what Kevin Warren did to the mayor.
Yeah, I want to speak on that. Let's take a break and discuss it next here on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Well, first of all, the Bears are staying in Chicago. That's the headline for today.
A couple times he used the past tense. A couple things I noticed, if I just make, can I just run down a quick laundry list here and then I will cede my time here. I know we only have a couple of minutes. First of all, it sucks that the Bears have turned this day into something other than celebrating the draft and Caleb Williams and all that. And I would so much rather just be excited about that. They chose to do this. If you have a problem with it, talk to them. They chose to do this because this is more important. There's a draft every year. There isn't a pitch for public money for a stadium every year. Like they said, it's every 40 years or every 20 years or whatever it is. They chose to make it about this. Second of all, I was bothered that he said the president, Kevin Warren, the deference, the fealty at the start of the interview, president, he's not your president. You don't work for him. You work for us. He's the Bears president. You don't work for the Bears. He's not your president. So that was a tell. That really bothered me. And you're talking about 24/7, 365. Please.
Let those kids show up.
Please. There. Those kids you're talking about, that you want them to show up. You'll be the cops will be called. You'll be raising the bridges just like your predecessor to get them out of here because you'll be terrified of them the moment those kids show up to use their public park 24/7, 365. Who's going to heat it? Who's going to cool it? Okay, who's going to pay for that? Also, if there's no public money and the Bears pay for it all themselves, you know what you still get? All the jobs. All these precious jobs. It's just the Bears paying for it. Let the billionaires pay for the jobs. And if you want to talk about it helps your daughter's travel team, just what we need, privileged travel kids having more opportunities and more places to play. You're talking about green space. How does putting a concrete glass monolith improve open-air green space? You know what really improves open-air green space? Not putting it there.
Yes, because it's already there.
You want all these construction jobs? Fix their schools. Fix their parks.
Take the lead piping out of the schools.
Fix their water. Fix their schools. Fix their parks.
Something that you should know as a member of the CTU.
And as somebody who's put two kids proudly through Chicago public schools, I can't tell you the number of parks that need their lights, that need their drainage, that need to be safer, that have crumbling benches, water fountains that don't work. Go to the fix their parks where they live instead of promising somebody's travel team an opportunity to play down here.
The other thing is,
tell it walking.
The other thing is that could I imagine there being a game on the lakefront? Yeah, it's called the Prep Bowl, and they've done it for years.
It's there.
Just real quick, I just wanted to, because the last 24 hours to me is either my origin story as a villain, my origin story as a hero, or the beginning of a political career.
Or all of it.
I had a bunch of politicos reach out to me, including people from the governor's office and aldermen. This is a note from one of the aldermen that I talked to yesterday. We talk for decades about how large corporations suck the life and blood from marginalized community, how they put profit over people. It's especially harmful to see a progressive movement help to elect someone that it appears is going to just continue the same dynamic. It's too damaging to our city and our future to be silent about it. I agree wholeheartedly, and that's why I want Brandon Johnson to actually talk to the people and ask them if that's what they want, and don't just drip it in fandom, because that's where he seems stuck. He seems stuck that everyone wanted the Bears to stay in Chicago, and throughout the NFL, there are plenty of examples of teams that aren't in the city that bears their name. So, and he is mesmerized by Kevin Warren, and that, to me, comes across in the interview. Kevin Warren has done a great job of lobbying the mayor of Chicago, and one could argue co-opting the mayor of Chicago.
No doubt. No doubt. When we come back, we've got some new information about what is happening with presumptive number one overall pick and future Bears quarterback Caleb Williams.
Yeah, you want us to get back to the football? We're about to get back to it in a very sexy way.
Kalen Kaler, senior writer at The Athletic, has info next on The Score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.